Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Rock Your Relationships podcast. This is Betsy Stokes, and I'm here again with my wonderful husband, Chuck Stokes.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Say hello, Chuck. Very nice. Okay, so the topic of the day is, what is intimacy theory? This word that we toss around a lot, we talk about intimacy theory, this and that.
Intimacy theory, that sounds so boring. Why should they know about this?
Thank you. Thank you, Professor Stokes.
What's important about that?
So it sounds
it
like...
Because it saved our marriage.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, God saved
it. Did
our
not
marriage,
save our marriage. Whatever. We were in it to win it for life.
We were.
It made our marriage way better. We would still be married.
It has been so helpful for us and for other people.
Yes.
So we want to just give you the basic overview in this podcast.
But the problem is intimacy theory sounds like one of those books that would maybe be like behind the counter at the bookstore, and like you wouldn't want your children flipping through looking at the pictures. You know, it sounds like
what's that Indian thing, Kama Sutra or whatever. That's not what we're talking about.
Which I personally have never seen. So I'm just in theory. But no, it's not that. I would not recommend Googling intimacy theory because I am not responsible for what might come up, what websites might come up. But this is something different, okay? This is not about, I don't know why I feel like I can't say it, like, because it's going to get censured.
Who's listening?
Censored by the Knights of Columbus. I don't know. Who bought us the microphone.
We're Catholic. We love sex. Sex is good.
Okay.
Theology of the body.
I am going to stop the computer right now.
So Betsy's going to take us back 8 years. We are sitting outside a friend's house getting ready to go in for a Bible study / small group. And we have been fighting on the way there, and this fighting is a part of a real rocky patch when we've been fighting a lot, and we are just at the end of our rope sitting in the car.
Yes. So did you mention that the kids are in the back seat?
I did not.
Okay, so Chuck and I are in the front seats. The kids are in the back seats, and we pulled up for this small group. It was, you know, a Christian small group meeting that we helped to lead, and we just didn't even want to get out of the car. We were just sitting in silence, and I was kind of trying to get up enough energy to put on a happy face one more time and to go in and minister to people when my personal life was pretty stressful. You know, I mean, I was unhappy in my marriage. And how were you feeling in that moment?
I was just feeling desperate. Like, I had always been able to solve problems before, and I felt like in our marriage, whenever we had hit a difficulty, we'd always been able to work it out. But we had gotten into this pattern where problems kept coming up, and I just didn't feel like I knew what to do next.
Yeah.
It was like there was, when we talked, it was like there was some kind of invisible force between us that like garbled our communication, and what I said wasn't getting through to you, and what you said wasn't getting through to me, and I just didn't know where to go next.
Yeah, so we were feeling very desperate. There was definitely a coldness and a numbness there between us. So we were sitting in the car, and on the way there, we had been having kind of a silent fight, you know, a fight where you don't want the kids to be traumatized, so you're just kind of subtly fighting, but it you feel it very deeply. And so we were all sitting in silence, and then my son, who was, I guess, about 5 at the time, his voice broke through. His name's Charlie, and he's always been an astute young man, and he said, in the silence, he said, "Mom, it's like there's venom in our family." And Charlie was really into snakes at the time. And we had talked about snake venom and talked about how, like, if you're out in the wilderness and a snake bites your friend, you have to suck the venom out of them to save their life. So he was just into venom. And I knew enough, thank goodness I had enough parenting instinct to know that it's not healthy when kids pick up stuff like that to pretend too much. I mean, you don't want to traumatize them. You don't want to drag them into adult problems,
right? You're not trying to pull them in and get them on one person's side or the other,
right,
or anything like that. But we also didn't want to pretend like nothing was going on because we knew they knew better. Even at 3 and 5, they knew better than that.
Yeah, you don't want other kids are imagining things because that just causes them to feel all schizophrenic about it. You know, like they're not interpreting reality right, and it's confusing. So I said, really, I feel like under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I said, "Charlie, you're right." I said, "There is venom in our family." And I said, and you know what we're going to do? Oh, no. First I said, there is venom in our family. And I said, the snake has bitten us. And I was thinking about the enemy. You know, the enemy of our souls. And the enemy of our marriages.
The devil.
The devil.
The old serpent.
Old hairy legs.
Never heard him called.
But anyway.
Venom
in our family. And I said, the snake has bitten us. And I said, you know what we're going to do? I said, we're going to pray until Jesus sucks the venom out. And I looked over at Chuck, and I think he just nodded at me. Do you remember?
I do, but you know what I remember? It was like hope came into the car.
Yes.
Like when we were sitting there, it was like I said, end of the rope, just did not have much hope. I knew I wasn't going to quit. We both were like, we are in this for life,
right.
Even if it's difficult and miserable and we kind of have to slog through. Oh, we were in it, right?
Not right.
But we didn't know how to solve the problem. And when you said that, it was like
something broke.
Broke, like that, whatever that invisible
totally.
Communication blockage shield was.
It was like grace came into the car.
There was hope. There was grace. We went in, kind of pulled ourselves together a little bit, went in, and were pretty honest with our friends about what was going on. And they just prayed with us.
Yeah, it's like in that moment, I looked over at you and I said, we're going to pray until Jesus sucks the venom out. It was almost like we decided it was going to be his problem from now on. We were done. We were done trying to solve this. We were going to take it to our Lord and he was going to have to fix it or else we were sunk. But then I really got this feeling of, like you said, hope. I was like, game freaking on. I was like, I am not living like this. I did not get married to live like this.
And here, I want to make this point, like, this story doesn't mean like, and then we lived happily ever
after.
There was a lot of hard work, and that period of hard work.
Then we lived humbly after.
That's a good place.
We humbled ourselves and got help.
We were, yeah.
That's what happened.
Because we realized we were at the end.
Yeah.
And it was after that where we learned about intimacy theory, and we'll tell you more about that. Right, so after the venom, then we start, and the prayer, we start to get help. We, through the church that we were a part of at that time, we found out about a great counseling organization, the Center for Relational Care there in Austin, Texas, where we were. And not only did we get...
They use intimacy theory exclusively.
Right, that they invented it. The folks who were there at the Center for Relational Care came up with this way of talking about biblical principles that are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So we got counseling ourselves. It was tremendously helpful. Almost immediately helped us.
Yeah.
And then after we went through the counseling, there were opportunities for, we were invited to join in some training opportunities,
mm-hmm.
to learn how to be small group facilitators. We're not professional counselors. We don't have that level of training, but we do know how to facilitate this at a small group and couple level. And so we've led several small groups and worked with several couples. And then in some cases, folks need professional counseling, and we want to refer them and so they can get the help they need.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where our training comes from and our experience with this. So what is it about? Intimacy theory is fundamentally based on the idea that it is not good for people to be alone. And that comes straight out of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, you got this great scene where you have God has created Adam, and so God parades the animals in front of Adam, and Adam names the animals. You got the tiger, the elephant, the
platypus,
all these animals, right? So Adam's naming the animals, and the scripture says, but no suitable partner or helper was found for him. And then you get the creation of Eve, which is this amazing thing. And then it was good. It was very good.
Yeah, and that was the only thing that was not good in creation.
Right, was when there was no suitable partner found, it says that it was not good for the man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, you get after Eve, when they're together, it's very good.
Very good.
So where that come, the idea behind that is that we are created in the image of God. God is three in one. That's what we believe as Christians. And that God has community within himself in some mysterious way. But the way we reflect that aspect of God's character is that we have community with one another. And so building bonds of intimacy, of connection with one another, is a critical part of being human. The church has always taught, and intimacy theory just picks up on this idea from the scriptures, that a fundamental part of being human is that we need to help remove aloneness from one another.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in this by yourself. I don't want to be in this by myself. We have our relationship with God, but there is an aspect of our humanity that gets fulfilled when we are in relationship with one another.
And can I just add to that? You can be alone in a room full of people, right?
Absolutely.
And you can be alone in a marriage. You have a partner with you who you see every morning and spends all day with you, and you go to bed together, and you're still very much alone.
You can be on Facebook and Twitter all
yes.
day and have a million followers and still be alone.
Right.
So how do you build those authentic, deep connections
mm-hmm.
that make you feel less alone, that make you feel like you are truly connected to another person? That is really what intimacy theory is all about, and we'll be talking throughout the Rock Your Relationships podcast about different ways in which you make those kinds of connections. So, Betsy, I have heard you say in the past there are at least a couple big components of intimacy theory,
mm-hmm.
dealing with negative emotions and dealing with positive emotions. So say more about that.
Okay. First, can I say one more thing about connections?
Yeah.
Okay, what I love about intimacy theory is that I use it to make a connection even with a stranger. You know, it's like just a simple connection, but I use it to even connect with someone at the grocery store. In a way that they feel loved and I feel loved, and in a way they feel known and I feel known. You know, we're not like deeply, intimately connected. But I use it there, and then I use it in my marriage to become very deeply connected.
And with our kids.
And with our children, yes. I feel very connected to our children. And it's just basically loving people. It's
right.
loving people with skill, kind of, I guess you could say, you know. So I just wanted to mention that these connections are for anyone who comes across your path, really.
Yeah, it's all about
loving
healthy
your
relationships,
well. Yeah.
all the way from the stranger to your most intimate friend.
Right. Okay, so intimacy theory is kind of, like Chuck had said, it's kind of divided into two main parts. And then there's like this third auxiliary part that I'll also tell you about. But the first part is we all have to learn first how to deal with negative emotions. So these are, for instance, guilt, fear, what else, Chuck? Anger, condemnation, false guilt.
Hurt,
yeah. So just how to deal with those. And what we're going to teach you is this really great tool, this way to like visualize. It's called an emotional cup. So that's how it was taught to us. So if you just picture like your cup gets full of negative emotions, gets full of hurt and anger and guilt and false guilt, and they all kind of get confused together. And how do we sort through those? How do we empty our cup of negative emotions so that we can have room for positive emotions? And then the second half of the intimacy theory is based on the positive emotions. And so it's meeting relational needs. So it's learning what your needs are and what the needs are of the person who you're wanting to connect with. And so if it's your spouse, you can take like a needs assessment. That's a lot of fun, and really get to know them and find out why they have this need rather than that need, and maybe things that happened in their childhood that created these needs, or some things are just about our personalities. But you can also learn to listen for needs when you're just listening to people in general. So even when you're just meeting someone, like I said, at the grocery store, and you can kind of tune your heart to listen to people's needs behind what they're saying and start to meet those emotional needs for people and bless them in that way. And then also recognize your own relational needs and you know, ask someone who loves you.
Right. Then you're better equipped to get your own needs met.
Right. So the first part, you can kind of think of the scripture where Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, because that is a lot of how you deal with negative emotions, is to have people mourn with you or to mourn with others, and you remove their aloneness in the negative emotions. And then there's lots of other things. Obviously, if you feel guilt, there's other steps that need to be taken. If you feel afraid, there's other steps as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can talk about all that. And
is
then,
there a verse that goes with the second half that you were talking about?
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's one of my favorite verses ever. And it's, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And so what's really helpful is not just words. Right? It's really understanding skillfully how to bless people with your words and with your actions and understanding their needs. And then the third part of intimacy theory is healing childhood hurts. And so we've gone through this with couples before and just really delved deep into maybe like traumatic experiences and understanding how Jesus wants to heal them.
It really helps you understand where some, if there's certain negative emotions that you recurrently experience,
right.
It helps you understand where those come from. Or if you have certain emotional needs that are just always there, understanding where those are coming from,
mm-hmm.
Often it relates back to things that we experienced as children.
Yeah, so that's kind of an overview. I feel like asking if there's any questions.
Yeah, I mean, that's an overview.
I guess email us
if we'll talk
any
about
questions.
Those things, but if you have any questions about the basics or the theology behind it or the scripture behind it, you can always reach out to us and ask those questions, and we'll answer them in subsequent podcasts. But we'll be building out lots of different components of this intimacy theory and really illustrating and applying it throughout the podcast. So thanks for listening in, and we'll talk to you next time.